Yeah, so I'm the compliance guy, so I'm going to always recommend an additional policy. I'm kidding. But when it comes to things like ephemeral communications or encrypted communications, things like WhatsApp, Snapchat, I think it's good for the company to take a clear position on those because, I mean, you still need to document, right, from the internal controls perspective, your business ongoing. So you don't want to be put in a position that, you know, where you find that a lot of business communications were taking place on WhatsApp, and folks were just kind of condoning it or looking the other way without any sort of firm position, because that, you know, when it comes to this stage, you're going to be having a lot of explaining to do if many of the documents can't be found, right? So it's part of this, as you said, every 2 years or so, we get new things that we need to deal with, and this is definitely a hot topic, I think, for folks in this space on how to manage this new internet reality.
Well, and what you described is exactly what happened in a recent SEC case. So it was a case against a broker-dealer, so they have an obligation to preserve business records. You know, whatever their employees use to do business, they have to preserve that. And it was pretty well known at the company that employees were using WhatsApp, you know, text messaging, and even personal email. And folks all the way up to mid-level management, maybe senior management, kind of looked the other way. They didn't do anything to preserve it. And the SEC dinged them, one, for not preserving it, but also when that company received subpoenas from the SEC in connection with an investigation, they didn't go out and grab those communications. So it was no effort to look at, you know, personal emails or texts that employees were using to do business. So that's exactly what happened in a recent SEC case.
So don't do that.
Don't do that. That's right. Unless you want an SEC order.
That's right. I remember when I was with the DOJ, we would envision the funnel, right, with the broad end at the top being the amount of the legal hold.
Yeah.
At least preserve everything that you possibly can. Your IT folks are going to hate it. And then you go from there. You begin to establish and try to figure out who's got what where. And then, Kelly, have you seen it technology-assisted review deployed effectively to cut through some of this data issue that every one of these, no matter how small the investigation is, these things have?
Well, I've used it quite effectively, I think. So, yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's becoming more prevalent and people are understanding it better. So in the early days, I think there was a lot of hesitation around using technology-assisted review and AI, but it really can parse through the data so much faster. And, you know, from the client's perspective, it's so much cheaper. You know, I don't want to pay for, you know, any of the lawyers at Haynes and Boone to review hundreds of thousands of documents. No offense, Tim. So if you can cut through that, and I think the important piece to remember there is really, again, documenting what you're doing and understanding why you're making those decisions. Let's just say I made an opposing counsel's life pretty miserable there for a couple of years when they didn't do that. And, you know, they didn't even understand what they were doing and why it was wrong and, you know, why it messed up the document review. So you have to know what you're doing. And obviously, we all have the obligation to do that as well. But I think that can be a hugely effective tool.
Well, and if turning it over to technology 100% makes you queasy, you can kind of do something in between, which is using technology to prioritize a review. So your machine learning just kind of prioritizes documents. You can still review all of them if you want to, but you don't have to.
Yeah, some of the stuff that's out there on the market is pretty killer, though,
with the
brain clouds, and then you're able to track the communications and everything. I've been really impressed with some of those tools. And some I've been thoroughly unimpressed with.
Exactly. Now, Jay, one issue that really is going to be difficult when it comes to technology assisted review and this new world that we're all living in, where you have people working from home, are the meeting recordings. So that's something, you know, Teams and Zoom, I'm sure you all are using that probably every day. If you haven't already gone and looked at your retention policies to see how long you're keeping meetings, where they're kept, I mean, I shudder for the day that plaintiffs start asking for that, and it's coming. If it hasn't already happened to you, that is going to happen. And technology-assisted review is going to be very difficult to get through the, you know, 20 probably gig or terabytes of Zoom meetings that you've been saving since March 2020 when we all went remote. So definitely look at that too, because those tools are used, and they're, you know, that's where a lot of these communications are happening and key meetings are happening that are going to be subject to discovery.
Unless you are required by law to hold on to those recordings or something really good has happened in there, you want to keep it 30 days max, right? I mean, 30 days and get rid of those things.